For Voices of Oklahoma, this is John Erling. Today's date is December 19th, 2018, and I'm sitting in the Williams Lodge of the Gathering Place in front of this great fireplace here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. With me this morning is Jeff Stava, Executive Director of Tulsa's Gathering Place, Chief Operating Officer. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I am fine. We've got this table set in front of the fireplace. It's just so great.
It is, isn't it?
We appreciate you doing this, and we're here to talk about the timeline of the Gathering Place and the challenges along the way. This oral history interview is probably really for the generations that are yet to be born, who will be using this wonderful place years from now. Was that in your head as you were building, too? I know I'm building it for now, but what about 2030, 35, and 40?
It's totally in our mind. In fact, we had a motto for all the workers and all the designers to do your very best, whether it was pouring the sidewalks or constructing the playground equipment. Your handiwork today would last generations of Tulsans to come. So do your very best work. Yeah, it was in our minds, and that's really kind of in everyone's minds as we looked at this project. And that's why the quality level is so high, the attention to detail is so high, because this isn't a project that's a 10 or 20 or 30 year project. It's a 100 plus year project. And that's really the way we thought of it all the way through design and construction.
We should say at the outset that the George Kaiser Family Foundation and many generous donors left to you, the future generations, $465 million investment. Foundation provided $200 million. $200 million came from corporations, private donors. City provided $65 million.
Yeah, the city and the county with the public infrastructure around the site.
Right. Here, we're just finished 100 days of the park being open. I was thinking in the year 2068, 50 years from now, it'll be interesting to see how the numbers I just stated will be viewed. They may say, oh, that was cheap.
They probably will. A friend of mine unearthed a plan for river parks. It was from the late 70s. And the river development up and down was $32.5 million. That had buildings and it had retail. It had a whole lot of different things up and down the banks of the river here in the center part of town. So, yeah, I think they'll look back and say, what a great investment. What a small amount of money. Can't believe they built it for that. I do truly believe that.
We'll cover the details, challenges, and I suppose some unexpected surprises that came along with construction of this project. So, as we do in oral history, Jeff, your birth date, your age, your birthplace?
Jeff Stava. My full name is William John Stava III. It's my formal given name. Jeff's my nickname. I was born in Limestone, Maine, on an Air Force base. My father was in the military. My mom and I went to Indianapolis while he was in Vietnam. And then when he came back from Vietnam, he came to Tulsa. His grandfather, his mom's dad, came across into Oklahoma in a covered wagon and settled the town of Wagner, Oklahoma. He was the metalsmith. He had a business that was right on the railroad tracks there in Maine and the railroad tracks. He was a blacksmith. He shoed horses. He took care of just anything that people needed repaired or fixed in Wagner. And so we came back to Tulsa, and my dad worked with a couple of people at Ira Cruz and development and building. And we settled here in Tulsa and have made Tulsa our home ever since.
Your mother's and father's name?
My mother's name is Sandy Stava, and my dad's name is John Stava.
Again, who was it that came in a covered wagon?
It's my dad's mom's father.
Okay.
So last name Chowning, and they lived in a little pink house right next to the Piggly Wiggly in Wagner.
You grew up in schools here? Attended?
Yes, I attended Jinx Public School System, the graduating class of 1987. The last class at Jinx to stay on the main campus the entirety of my time at school there. You know, they built, gosh, now I don't even know how many campuses, but my kids now, one goes to Northeast and one goes to West. Well, those were not even dreams at the time I went to Jinx. In fact, when I went to Jinx, it was Betsy Mayo Kindergarten. They just took the building down a couple of years ago, but there were only four classrooms in the kindergarten, AM kindergarten and PM kindergarten. It was a real small school. Then went to Baylor University and graduated in 91. Came back to Tulsa, worked for Lowrance Electronics. Then eventually I went to Wisconsin and worked for a few years for Johnson Worldwide. Then back to Tulsa, where I started a company with a group of investors, Terminator, Titanium Spinnerbaits. We sold those companies, and I didn't know what I was going to do with the rest of my life. And Phil Lakin, who's the CEO of the Community Foundation, kept telling me I needed to come to work at the foundation. So we had some conversations, and I took 2 or 3 months off of work and took my honeymoon, a little delayed honeymoon, then came to work at the foundation. I thought I'd be there, you know, a year or two. They were talking about this park project in my interview, and it really kind of intrigued me, something that could be done like this.
Let me come back then. You were married, your wife's name and your children's names.
My wife is Susie Stava. We've been married for 13 and a half years. My oldest son, Will, turns 11 on Saturday. My youngest son, Luke, is 10 years old.
So your father is a major construction person.
Yeah.
And we see the work, we see Stava signs around town. What is it about your background that qualified you to oversee the construction of the gathering place?
Well, my background's in operations management. I graduated from Baylor with the first, what used to be called industrial engineering, but in the late 80s, they kind of changed from an industrial engineer to kind of an operations management. You got all the engineering and statistics and things, but you really were from a more of a business approach to building things or to processing things. And so a lot of project management experience. That was my degree. I came out of school and worked at Lowrance, helping them reduce inventory, which reduces the amount of money that's sitting on the floor or sitting in finished inventory, and eventually worked in the factory helping with effectiveness of the production lines, and then worked in forecasting, which then generally got me to sales, where I helped oversee our larger accounts. And then from there was hired away to Johnson, where I managed my own business unit, Spiderwire Fishing Lines. So I've always been in, my mom always said, you're going to be in sales and marketing. But my background is really all in operations and project management. When I came to the foundation, I worked on new systems for the foundation, making us more effective at processing our grants and getting our checks out. And that was kind of my first year or two at the foundation. The idea of a park was kind of germinating, and we were trying to figure out, you know, what that looked like and how big it would be, where it would be, and how much land we would have. That was the beginning part of it. But when I interviewed, it was thrown out. It could be something I could work on. It wasn't like I interviewed and that was going to be my job. It was just something I was really fascinated with, the idea that the foundation would do something so big for the community. I was pretty entranced with that thought. So I just asked if I could be involved. One of the projects I had when I first started at the foundation was managing our real estate assets, which, you know, we had, gosh, at the time, I don't know, $100 million worth of assets. We had this Buford property, which was the old B.B. Blair mansion, and it was bought with the full belief that we would have a park here. As I was working at the foundation, we were just closing from Case & Associates, the Sundance apartment site, directly on the southeast corner of 31st and Riverside. Mike agreed to sell it to the foundation. And then the Legacy Apartments, which were the old Place One apartments, which were just south of it across Crow Creek there, those apartments were in foreclosure. We were watching and waiting for those apartments to come for sale on the courthouse steps. Bank of Oklahoma had bought the underlying bonds, but it still had to go through the bankruptcy court and then be sold publicly on the courthouse steps. That was all kind of in the first 6 months of my employment. Those were our assets. We kept the apartments. Case managed the Sundance apartments, and C.B. Richard Ellis was managing the Legacy apartments for us. We had other real estate assets, a building in Oklahoma City and other land in and around that we had purchased. And so we were maintaining and operating all these assets, and I was overseeing that. With those large land assets, when we started thinking about what we were going to do with them, I had a lot of ideas. And I think that people recognized that this was a large project to manage. And it wasn't like I raised my hand and said, I'm going to do it, but I just started doing it. That's kind of how it happened, I guess.